beginning is very wonderful. Thank you, dear. Thank you for the church. Struggle with women trying to establish their rights, and some individuals are trying to suppress their rights. But that's so unfortunate. The very culture, especially Krishna consciousness movement, in this movement, our ultimate goal is to become the servants of the gopis of Vrindavan, become the servants of Shrimati Radharani. So in that sense, the ultimate goal of our life is to become submissive to the transcendental damsel of Vrindavan. And if we become situated in that mood, then all the struggle, all the strifes, all the conflicts will automatically disappear. And therefore we should be very careful that we don't get caught up with all these mundane struggles. We are not meant to be on this material platform. Krishna consciousness movement is here to situate us in the transcendental platform. And in that transcendental platform, we all are related with each other in the most wonderful relationships. With Krishna in the center, we find perfect relationship. But when we do not make Krishna the center, then the struggle starts. Then it is a conflict between different individuals, false ego. And it cannot be avoided. It cannot be avoided. Unless and until we put Krishna in the center of this conflict, a false ego is bound to be. With our civility, with our morality, we may try to suppress that, but that won't be long-lasting. In this respect, Prabhupada gave a very beautiful example. He said, you take a handful of pebbles and throw it in a pool of water. As those pebbles fall on the water, they will create, each pebble as it falls, will create a circle of waves. And eventually, all this, and then they'll start, those circle of waves will start to grow larger and larger, and eventually these waves will conflict. But if we take the pebbles, one after another, we start throwing them in one center, then also each pebble as it falls will create a circle of waves, and that wave will keep on increasing, but they will not conflict. They will not clash. So, in Krishna consciousness, we find that perfect center, and that is Krishna. And we can throw unlimited number of pebbles on that center. And they will keep increasing, all those circles of waves will keep growing, but they will never conflict, they will never clash. So Krishna consciousness actually provides the perfect harmonious relationship. But if we don't put Krishna in the center, then everybody will try to put himself in the center. And as a result of that, there will be conflict. Prabhupada also pointed out that wherever there is conflict, you have to understand that we are deviating from Krishna consciousness. It's a conflict of a false ego. But in Krishna consciousness, we get rid of our false ego. Idam Krishnaya, now. The simple principle of Krishna consciousness is that everything is for Krishna, nothing is for me. Nothing is for me. The higher we go, this concept will become more and more established, more and more realized. today's world, all the families are breaking off. Even in India, a few years back, there used to be joint families. Like, some families used to have 100-150 members living together. But just within 30-40 years, those joint families have become disintegrated. We hardly see any joint families now. They all are husband and wife moving into their apartments. At the most, they live with their husband and wife and their children. And in many cases, the husband and wife also cannot live together. They also split. So this is the age of COVID. This is the symptom of the age of COVID. Disintegration. But Prabhupada came to counteract that influence of COVID. Prabhupada has come to create a united family, an international family, a spiritual family. Therefore, we should be very careful that we preserve this family with all our might, with all sincerity and care and concern. In Krishna consciousness, the basic principle is more sankirtan. More effectivity will be. More the number, the more the involvement, more effective it will be. So unity is where our actual strength lies. And if we become divided, we have to understand that Kali is attacking us, and we are succumbing to Kali's onslaught. We are becoming defeated. Our mission, our purpose is being defeated by the onslaught of Kali. So unity is the most important consideration. And in order to become united, become Krishna conscious, we have to offer our love to Krishna. In order to develop our love, we have to get rid of our false ego. Because the false ego doesn't breed love. The false ego generates the tendency to exploit. And this tendency to exploit is the primordial seed of hatred. When we love, we want to serve. When we hate, we want to exploit. Isn't it? So in this world, everywhere, very, very intense exploitation is going on. Everywhere. Now, should we allow, should we become subject to that onslaught of Kali, or should we counteract the effect of Kali? And how to counteract the effect of Kali? In order to understand that, we have to understand how does Kali spread his influence. You know how Kali spreads his influence? Kali spreads his influence through quarrel and anger. Kali actually, you can go even further. Kali spreads his influence through quarrel. Because Kali is a personified quarrel. Or quarrel personifies. Kali means quarrel. families are becoming divided, why the human society is becoming divided. Because of Quora. And what is the root of Quora? Envy and anger. So how to counteract this influence of envy and anger? Through love and tolerance. The envy will be conquered by love, and anger will be conquered by tolerance. And how can you become tolerant? We can become tolerant only when we become humble. Instead of being humble, if we become arrogant, then we will become intolerant. Arrogance leads to intolerance. It is a humble disposition that will enable us to cultivate tolerance. So, Srila Prabhupada gave a perfect process. Srila Prabhupada gave the perfect process. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought this process and Srila Prabhupada distributed it to the whole world. Now it's up to us how sincerely we are going to accept the process, how sincerely we are going to practice. Think about it. Or I'll say, let us discuss about it. Let's discuss. Let's not just. I hate to give just a long lecture. That I'll tell you, I'll honestly admit, that just helps me to influence my policy. Let's hear. Yes.
I was just thinking, Maharaj, you were saying that we should all be tolerant, and tolerance comes from humility. How far should we tolerate a situation, and how much should we actually try and change it?
Change what?
This situation, say, that we're trying to tolerate. Just trying to accept maybe what we're given in life, our destiny, our karma. But how much should we actually try and change all that?
Well, if we follow Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then he is telling us to go to the ultimate extent, become tolerant of the truth. But of course, it will take a lot of advancement. It will take a lot of strength. Even if you consider Jesus, he also gave very wonderful advice on how to be tolerant, what the extent of our tolerance. If somebody slaps on your right cheek, offer him the left. Mm-hmm. So, these spiritual personalities are advising us to become absolutely tolerant, not relatively tolerant. That up to this degree we will tolerate, and then I'll flare up. Right? Because when we realize that our actual goal is not here in this material nature, then we naturally develop this attitude. I have nothing to gain here, so I can tolerate. I can go to any extent. And the degree of my tolerance will indicate my spiritual advancement. That is the ultimate issue. How, to what extent will be tolerant? It will depend upon the extent of our spiritual advancement. As advanced you are, to that extent you will be able to tolerate.
We see that Prabhupada, for instance, when he set up his League of Devotees and was in that building, and he got moved out because the lady wanted her ladies' group, then he just tolerated that and off he went, packed his bag and off he went. But then later, for instance, in Newbury Beach, when they had all that problem trying to get the land, build the temple and everything, he really stuck his guns and would not move. No matter, you know, how much was it Mr. Nair tried to get rid of him and the devotees,
okay,
he just wouldn't
very,
go.
Very good point. You see, when it comes to our own self, we are absolutely tolerant. But when it comes to serving Krishna, then we are absolutely intolerant. Whenever there is an obstacle in the path of service, you know, in our service to Krishna, remove it. For Krishna, yes, we are not at all tolerant. Nothing can stop us. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he himself is propagating to become more humble and greater grasping, more tolerant and free. But when there was a confrontation with Chatkaji, when Chatkaji tried to stop the Sankirtan movement, Mahaprabhu became like a lion. Let's see, who can stop Sankirtana, Krishna Sankirtana? So that is the consideration. Right? We have to be tolerant when it comes to our own sense. But when it is for serving Krishna, there is no consideration of being tolerant. Rather, whatever comes on our way to stop, to prevent, either we overcome it or we just smash it. Yes, you have a question?
The last couple of days I've been meditating on some of the sayings of Jesus, as you just mentioned. Jesus said that in the kingdom of God, the first will be last, and the last will be first. Whoever is going to be first in the kingdom must be the servant of all. Perhaps you could comment on these things.
Well, you already commented. Yeah, sure. Like, again, we're coming back to the same point. Like, the more we develop, the more we make spiritual advancement, the more we develop our service attitude. The more we become humble. We'll find ourselves to be the servant of the servant of the servant. So the person who will try to serve without really caring for any position or any reward, he will be recognized by the Supreme Personality. The one who tries to establish himself as the first, one who wants to move forward as the first, the whole world may recognize him, but the Lord will not recognize him. But the one who is humbly kind of serving the Lord and his devotee and his mission, he may be totally unregistered, he may be totally unrecognized by the world, but the Lord will recognize him. I think everyone got the water here. Comments or suggestions? Come on, man. we wanted to have a discussion. Yes.
What are the steps in tolerating? What is the internal process? Thinking or,
Yes, very good points. What are the internal processes of tolerance? The first consideration for tolerance is that Krishna is taking care of me, Krishna will take care of me. I will not. So Krishna is taking care. I don't really have to make all the arrangements myself. Krishna is making all the arrangements. So our business is to become like little children who knows that his father is there to take care of him. And he doesn't care about anything himself. So in this way, the more we develop our dependence on Krishna, the more we'll be able to tolerate. And when you develop this, when you cultivate this attitude, then if something happens, then we accept it as well as Krishna's attitude. A wonderful example is Haridas Thakur is being beaten in 22 marketplaces. He's not protesting. He's simply chanting the holy name of the Lord. My Lord, if that is what you want, fine. If you want me to be beaten in 22 marketplaces, that's your will. I'll accept it as your arrangement. And I'll tolerate it. So he wanted to tolerate, Haridas Thakur just wanted to tolerate it, accepting it as Krishna's mercy. But what did Krishna do? What did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do? He embraced him and he took all the beating upon his back. So this is how the Lord protects his devotees. So when the Lord protects his devotees in such a wonderful way, why should a devotee worry about anything? So the ultimate consideration is to depend on Krishna. If you want it to happen, it's alright. Marovi Rakhovi Joichata. Whether it'll keep me or whether it'll kill me, it's entirely up to you. Now, when we develop this feeling, this attitude internally, yes, then it becomes easy to tolerate everything. You see, ultimately it's all depending upon our Krishna consciousness. We do not actually separately have to cultivate or develop certain qualities. The only quality that we have to develop is surrender. And everything else will happen automatically. Yes.
In the spiritual world, we've heard this Chandavali's camp and Radharani's camp, there's different camps. So how do people with their different individuality maintain no conflict or harmony with one another?
You see, Prabhupada pointed out that what happens on the spiritual realm, we won't actually be able to understand until you go there. From this platform, we won't be able to figure out why things happen in a certain way on the spiritual side. But the basic understanding is that this Chandravali and Radharani's competition is simply to enhance their love for Krishna. It is through that competition, this conflict, the love is actually increasing. But ultimately, from this mundane platform, we won't be able to understand what it is like. can't forget the Chandravali and Radharani as sisters. They can't, not exactly sisters. But according to Rupa Goswami, they were actually sisters. Vrinda Mountain gave birth to two daughters. Got two daughters. You see, Vrinda Mountain, there's a mountain called Vrinda. Vrinda Mountain became somewhat envious of Himalaya Mountain. Because Himalaya got his daughter married to Lord Shiva. So he considered that he should get a daughter who will be married to someone who is greater than Lord Shiva. And as a result of that, two daughters were born of him. And but at that time, Uddhava was killing all the children. So Uddhava stole these two daughters. And at that time, the Brahmins of his court, of Vrinda, king of Vrinda Mountain, started to chant the Rakshasi mantra, the mantra that would kill the Rakshasi. So being, and at that time, while Putana was flying to his face, carrying these two daughters away, she became afraid and she dropped those two daughters away. And they fell on Jamuna, on two lotuses. And those two lotuses were floating. And King Vrishabhanu found one, and King Chandrabhanu found the other. So that is how Vrishabhanu found Radharani and Chandrabhanu found Chandra. Two brothers. So as I was saying, in the ultimate issue, these are all transcendental happenings, transcendental affairs. Our attitude is in through this happening, their love for Krishna is intensified. Through this happening, Krishna's pleasure increases. And it's all a matter of giving pleasure to Krishna. Yes?
Another question about Jesus, some scriptures from the Bible, something that's puzzled me lately. I want to ask for your insight on this. Some of Jesus' more famous miracles that are recorded in the Bible in the New Testament. The first recorded miracle that Jesus performed was, of course, transforming the water into wine. Then later on, he performed the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. And it's puzzled me because why would Jesus have helped people engage in sinful activity by giving them wine and meat if his purpose was to usher in the kingdom? It's puzzled me. Why would Jesus have fed people with fish? You understand? Why would he have given wine? Aren't these sinful things?
Well, you see, Jesus was preaching in the Middle East 2,000 years ago, where people were practically half-civilized or uncivilized, right? But today you are not in Israel. You are in Dallas, Texas, in the middle of the civilized world. To tell you frankly, Jesus' teachings to those people, it doesn't really apply in today's world. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought this Sankirtan movement for the civilized world. Just accept that. In order to impress the people, sometimes you may do something. A spiritual personality may do something. But that should not become the standard. Those people, those who are those were impressed by wine, those were, you know, boozers, if not drunkards, right? They're impressed when there is wine. So he performed his miracle. In any case, they're going to drink wine. So he could touch water and turn it into wine and make an impression upon them so that they will follow him, so that they will accept him. But eventually we see that in spite of all his miracles, they were not impressed. The person who did so much for them and the person who came to teach them the love of God, they wanted to kill him. So can you see what kind of people he was dealing with? Do you want to classify yourself in the same category? Yourself? Would you like to classify yourself in the same category?
I don't understand which category.
Then those who come to give you the love of God and want to kill him?
Oh, no.
So there you are.
Oh, no.
So that shows, you know, what kind of people he was preaching to.
Barbaric.
But you're living in a civilized world. The perfection of Jesus' teaching is in teachings of Chaitanya. What Jesus couldn't tell to those people, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and distributed.
As you were saying this morning, Jesus said that I have many more things to tell you.
I have a lot more to say.
Yeah. And your ears can't hear it now.
In fact, you don't understand because they were not intelligent enough. They were not cultured enough. They were not civilized enough. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, any other question? Should we have some more discussion? Yeah.
How tall is Ram? Should you be in work in Vaishnavas as a temple manager? Sometimes the devotee is not trained enough and he's not prepared to do some service work. And that sometimes starts, you know, breaks you. How tall is he? Because at the same time he said that when it comes to Krishna service, that there should be no tolerance. So how do you?
Yeah. You see, in management, you have to be practical. Because in management means getting things done in the right way. Management means waking people up from their slumber. Management means getting them out of their inertia. So, you know, you can't afford to be tolerant in that case, right? Management means teaching, right? And when you're teaching, you're internally you're tolerant, but externally you're strict. So that is how the management has to be. And I often tell devotees that in Krishna consciousness, the only person who can afford to be not so humble and not so tolerant is the spiritual master with his disciples. Because if you with them, with your disciples, if you become more tolerant than a tree and more humble than a blade of grass, then they'll take you for a ride. The spiritual master has to be strict. And the management is some sort of the spirit. Managers, the leaders, are some sort of spiritual masters, actually. That's why I said that they're teachers. They have to train the devotees. Yes, it is Alistair.
I was reading Shivanswami's book, Nataraya, and I understand one thing. So Krishna, the gopis are trying to trap Krishna to admit him at his Guru Druhi. They're trying to trap Krishna into admitting that he doesn't reciprocate the love. And then Krishna, the whole pasan ends with Krishna saying that he cannot keep his debt to the gopis. And then in the book, Maharaj speaks about Mahaprabhu coming and repays the debt. So I didn't understand how Mahaprabhu repays the debt to the gopis.
You see, in Vrindavan, Krishna is taking the service from everyone. There he is the supreme enjoyer. But he came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like, yeah, and that's the word actually, na parayaham. That I cannot repay your debt. As Krishna, he could not pay the debt. Their debt, his debt to them. Therefore, he came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to repay the debt. That in this mode, he is serving them. He became the servant of them. The word itself, actually, the title itself, means that I cannot pay your debt. But he did. That's why he came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And also, this is a perfect teaching. Like, that's what I was also briefly mentioning at the beginning, that our ultimate goal is to become the servants of the gopis. Gaudiya Vaishnava means to become the servant of the gopis. So we are the last one to be considered to be women haters. We are the worshippers of the women. Duality will become.